Welcome to Aesthetic Pulse, where we help passionate and caring aesthetic practice leaders get clarity around what is and what is not working in marketing.
So get out your pen and paper because we are here to open the hood and show you how you can take actionable steps to improving your aesthetics practice.
We are thrilled you're here. Welcome to Aesthetic Pulse. We hope you guys are having a fabulous day whenever you're listening to this. Andrea and I decided that we really wanted to put together a three-part series for you guys, and I'm so thrilled to be announcing this. We actually were putting together a little webinar and had some of these topics in mind, and we thought, you know what? Why don't we just introduce this in a podcast? So I'm just going to kind of introduce what the three-part series is going to be, and then what the topic is going to be today. So we are going to be teaching our proprietary method, our SCC method, which stands for Seekers, Clients, and Community. And this is how we really teach our clients and how we implement a really good marketing strategy for our clients to make sure that you are building a business empire and able to attract lots of different kinds of consumers to best help your med spa practice. So today we're going to be talking about seekers, and we are so excited to talk to you about what that even means and how you can attract them.
Yes, great. Thank you so much. What is a seeker? So a seeker is the client that's out there actively looking for your services. So that is the person out there that, you know, is looking up what is medical grade skincare, where can I buy it, or what is Botox and where can I get it? And they're actively looking for someone to help them. And so the seekers are primed and ready to buy. So I've actually did quite a few training courses, as most business owners have, and I'm forgetting who it was that taught me this, but someone was saying that there are a couple different types of buyers. There's a buyer that is like a crock pot where they take a long time to cook, it takes a long time for them to be ready. And then there's another type of buyer that's more like the microwave where it doesn't take long, they're ready like as quick as possible. And so you want to think of your seekers as more the microwave type of consumer where they are ready to go. And so the most important thing about the seekers is just be ready and be ready to show up when they are looking. So with seekers, there's a few things that really need to be done to make sure that you're getting in front of those seekers. So the first thing that is important is search engine optimization or SEO. For us, it has been a trend lately for clients on discovery calls to ask about this service. And so I just want to talk about what is it and why is it important? Can you do it yourself? So SEO, search engine optimization, is basically helping you show up higher on an organic search on either Google or Bing. So when you search something like Med Spa Near Me as an example, and you look through that list, you'll see a few at the top that say sponsored, and then below that are what we would call the organic results. So there are people like me, which I'm weird. I don't know why I do this, but like when I search something, I scroll past the sponsored usually and like look at the organic results. I don't know why I do that, but probably because I don't want to like spend someone's ad money if I know I'm not going to buy from it, I guess maybe. I don't know. I maybe know too much, but anyway, I scroll past it and look through the organic results. So that is SEO. So SEO is thinking up the terms that you want to show up for. And then there are a couple ways you can actually do SEO. So one thing that you could in theory work on yourself is fixing your website so that you're what we would call reverse engineering your website. So that way you are thinking up terms that someone would search for and then infusing those terms and your locations into your website. So that way when someone searches Botox Grand Rapids, my website has "We do Botox in Grand Rapids," you know, 10 times on there. So it's going to pull up. So Google will search like what websites out there have Botox and Grand Rapids and say, oh, this one. And then they'll pull it in the search results. So another way that you can do it, which is the way that we do it with our clients that do SEO with us, is we partner actually with an agency that does SEO and Google Ads. That's like their They're nationally known for this. They're amazing at Google Ads and SEO. And the method that they use is to build landing pages for each search term and each area. So like you would have a list of 20 terms that you want to be found for: Botox, filler, lip filler, facials, medical grade skincare, etc. And then the other list would be locations you serve. So I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan, so it could say Grand Rapids, Byron Center, Kentwood, Jenison, Rockford. It could like list out all the areas. And then they basically do a matrix of those and then build an individual landing page for every single Botox Grand Rapids, Botox Jenison, Botox Rockford. And so then you can kind of see how you end up with a lot of landing pages. So then they do that. And so then that way you're always pulling up. So both of those methods are pretty complex. They take a lot of time and a lot of skills. So if you are interested in doing SEO, SEO is definitely a service you're going to want to hire somebody for. SEO people can go to college for search engine optimization. So you're going to want to, you know, keep up. It's a monthly service. The algorithms change in search. So that's definitely something that is worth hiring someone for sure. So that's SEO.
Yeah. You don't want to just be looking up a couple YouTube videos and thinking, okay, I got it. Cause that's not how it works. I promise. No. There are things that we would encourage you or tell you that you could do on your own, but SEO is not one that we would recommend. Like, hire someone that's a professional that has results or has a history of results. That's going to be important with SEO.
Yes, absolutely. SEO is complicated and it's not a one and done thing.
No.
You know, SEO is an ever-changing thing. It's not a one and done. It's a monthly service, I would say.
Right. And you can't just, you know, make your own website and think just because you put Botox in Grand Rapids, all of a sudden you're good to go. Like, that's not exactly how the reverse happens on websites. And so again, just having someone that knows what they're doing is going to be important for this service.
Yes, absolutely. The next way to get in front of the seekers would be ads. So I kind of touched briefly on Google Ads. We as an agency really like Google Ads and feel Google Ads have been very successful for our clients because, again, you're getting right in front of seekers and you're only paying for the ones that actually get clicked on, which is very different than social media ads. So that it really is a big difference. So Google, you are paying for the clicks to, you know, anyone that clicks on your stuff to look at it. It's a lot more trackable and you can actually see exactly who comes from Google Ads, how many calls, how many clicks, how much your ad spend is. I would say on average, when we were offering Facebook and Instagram ads, clients were spending dramatically less on Google and getting a lot more results for Google.
Yeah. And not to say that, you know, Meta ads can't work if you have someone that's really, really good. But I would say with Google Ads, what we really like is, again, you're attracting the seeker, the person that's actually typing in Botox near me versus Meta ads, you're kind of just casting a wide net and then you're retargeting and there's lots of different strategies with it. But I would say it's a little bit more of that crock pot kind of
strategy. Yeah, it's a long play.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. It's like a long play versus a short play for sure.
Right. Right. So Google Ads, we definitely believe is more of that short play. So if you're trying to like build your clientele list in a more quick manner, we would suggest focusing on Google Ads first. So again, not saying Meta ads don't work or can't work. It's just a different strategy.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. So yeah, Google Ads, again, is a pretty complex offering. You can watch some YouTube videos, log in there and try to do it yourself. The only issue with trying to run ads yourself is that you can really waste a lot of money before you figure out that you didn't set it up right. I've tried to do it for ours at the very beginning when we first got started. And, you know, it's difficult to run ads if you aren't trained on how to do it. So yeah, Google Ads is super helpful because you can show up as sponsored for any of the search terms you choose. You are paying to show up, so you're guaranteed to show up in front of people who are searching. And then also in the map section, you will also show up higher in the map section, which a lot of people, me personally, when I'm looking for something local to me, which would be a brick and mortar business, I'm going to look in the map section. Like,
yeah,
Grand Rapids is a big area, so I would not want to drive super far when there's something close to me. So I'll look on the map section, but you will show up higher there too. So yeah, ads is great. The next type of ad is social ads. So social ads can put you in front of seekers for sure. It can. The difference between Google ads and then Facebook and Instagram ads, like Talisa had mentioned, is that when you're running ads on Facebook and Instagram, you are putting in demographics and interests, and then you are paying to you know, be put in front of those people. Where Google, you are picking actual search terms. So people are searching and then you're getting in front of them. So as an example with Facebook and Instagram ads is, I would say my mom and my aunt have the very same demographics on paper. But if you showed an ad for Botox to my aunt 100 times, she's still never going to do it. And you're still paying to get in front of her, where my mom would have to see it one time and she will do it. So it's different. They're very different like buyers, but in terms of targeting, it's difficult. So where Facebook and Instagram ads can be super successful is in a long game. So you have to really have partnership with somebody who knows how to do a good strategy on social media with ads. It's not boosting a post. It's not, you know, just picking random interests like beauty and running that. There are things that professional ads agencies do where they're able to, you know, through their experience with other clients, take client, you know, not client lists, but like lookalike audience as an example, replicate that and then run your ads to that. That's an invaluable thing that you cannot recreate yourself. The only way you can recreate it yourself is if you have what's called a Facebook pixel on your website that's continuously collecting data on website visitors. And then that's how you can retarget them on Facebook and Instagram. So that is a seeker because they went to your website seeking your stuff and then you're retargeting them on Facebook and Instagram. But you can see just as we're talking this through, it is a little bit more of a complex thing and you have to have a very technical strategy around it. You have to have multiple different types of ads running and really know who you're targeting and be able to have access to some sort of a tool to target the right group. So it is a little bit more complex. I would say Google ads and social media ads in general, you really need to hire someone to do that. First of all, you need to have someone that's Meta certified as well, because you're going to have problems with the ads eventually with like access or needing to change this or change that. And you need someone who has access to the backdoor Facebook team, and you can't have the access without being Meta certified anyway. So you're really going to want to make sure you partner with someone for that. But ads for Facebook and Instagram can be super successful. We've seen clients have a lot of success with it. Yeah. We just recently teamed up with a new group, which we will hopefully have them on the podcast, you know, in the near future to talk through Facebook and Instagram ads. But again, it really is a technical offering that you really want to hire someone to do. But when you think about hiring somebody to do either Google ads or social media ads, the thing to remember is when an agency quotes you a price, the price they're quoting you is for management, and then you're going to have ad spend on top of that. So always keep that in mind. Like if someone quotes you, I would say those services, people quote anywhere between $1,000 to $2,500 a month to run people's ads. I mean, you know from your mastermind that people charge $7,500 to do people's ads. So you can really if someone has a really good strategy, they can charge a lot for that. So just keep that in mind. There's a management fee and then there's the ad spend on top of that.
And ad spend is going to be very dramatically different depending on your area and your competition. So if you're in an area with only a few med spas, you're probably not going to have the same ad spend versus if you're in the middle of LA. You know, that's going to be dramatically different. So just keep that in mind too, that your location is going to play a huge factor in the amount of ad spend that you.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because there are going to be people who just don't even need to do ad spend. You know, we've had a client in super, super small town in Minnesota that didn't need to do ads because she's the only game in town and everyone knew about her. Yeah. And so we had a different growth strategy for her. But then we did team up with a med spa that is in Salt Lake City, Utah for ads. And it's like, holy cow, I had no idea there were like med spas on every corner there. So you have to spend so much more because you're paying to play. You know, you're competing. So it's like a bid strategy. It's like an auction, essentially. So whoever pays the highest price is going to get in front of those people. Right. So it does depend. I'm glad you said that for sure. Yeah. I would say the one thing when it comes to seekers that we could have listeners do themselves and they could even start doing today, we put together an amazing, amazing, amazing freebie for this. It's linked in the show notes and it's really, really cool, but it's blogging. So blogging is a way to help with SEO. Now, SEO is like a credit score, right? So SEO is like similar to everyone's probably looked at Credit Karma on their phone at one time or another, and you're able to see like how many factors play into what your credit score is, and they're weighted differently and all that. That's how SEO works too. So blogging is only one component of that. So keep right. that in mind. This is can't be your only thing and expect it to be your whole SEO strategy, but it's definitely a great place to start and definitely something you can have a virtual assistant do for you. But anyway, so blogging, how you're going to want to think about blogging is the reverse engineering strategy. So what are people searching for? So one thing that we get caught up with clients, and even clients that have been clients for years at this point, when we talk about blog topic every month, it's like we don't want to focus on how do we want to educate our clients. It's not really going to be for like reading enjoyment. You know, people aren't going to be like sitting there and enjoying a blog post. Maybe they'll read through it, but the purpose of a blog really more than anything is to be found, you know, for SEO. So like as an example, this is like a really silly example, but I was searching for raw dog food for my dog. And so I was searching on there, and it's interesting because you'll see if you start paying attention to this, you'll notice if you search for something like raw dog food, I'm making it up, then you'll see the top 10 best raw dog food companies. And then it's actually posted by a raw dog food company. And then they list 10 in there. So it's like they know that people are searching that. So they write a blog about it, and then they put the top brands in there, and they'll even link to the other brands that are their competitors and just say that they're second best or third best. But then that's how they're showing up for SEO. So anyway, in terms of blogs, there's a few things about blogs that are important. One is you're going to want to make sure that you do it in sections. It's not just like one free long form thing. You're going to want to make sure there are clear sections so that if someone wants to read it and all they do is read the titles, they're still getting something out of it.
Yeah.
People
so
have,
if they're looking up, if they're looking up, you know, the five best vitamin C products, it's going to be important that you have bolded titles for each of them. So if all they want to do is say, oh, those are the five that they recommend and move on, they can do that.
Yes. Super good example. Because, and then you're going to want to link to those like where they can buy them. So yeah, that's a really great example. So you're going to want to think of titles like that, or titles where you're able to really section it off. And then when it's put into your website, then when Google, what they call crawls the page, it will index it. So it will, if you think of indexing, like it will essentially create a virtual table of contents for that website. So then when people are searching for stuff, Google then knows what's on that page and then knows who to show that page to. So a Google, like an optimized blog post is super important to have on your website, but it's not for reader enjoyment. It's not like, oh, I want to educate people on why the HydraFacial is great. Like you want to think about, okay, what is the HydraFacial good for?
Right.
You know, and then you want to write, you want to have strategic blog posts about what people are searching for. Most people aren't actually searching HydraFacial. Right? They don't, most consumers that have never been to a med spa before aren't searching that. They're searching for, you know, hydration or acne, or, you know, they're kind of searching like how to help my acne, or, you know, esthetician acne or something like that. And you want to kind of think backwards about what are they searching for and write the blogs about that. So anyway, the shortcut to writing blog posts is really harnessing ChatGPT to help you do that. So ChatGPT, yes, I'm sure everyone listening has at least opened it and tried a few things in there, but ChatGPT's outputs are literally only as good as your input. So if you put in there, like, write me a blog post about microneedling, it will do it. It will do it, but it's not going to be everything you want it to be. It's not going to be the SEO optimized, you know, type of blog post. So what we put together in our freebie is a whole ChatGPT prompt. So you just fill in the prompt for what you want the blog post to be about, and you paste it in there, and then it will write the blog post for you. But you do have to spend time on the prompt. So it's going to be, you know, you do have, sometimes I have spent so much time in a prompt, it's taken me longer to do the prompt than it's taken me to like, than it would have taken me to just write the piece myself.
Right.
So,
But there's benefits, of course, too. But, you know, with blog posts, I feel like something else to keep in mind is, of course, there's like local traction, and there's other factors that can help boost those even more if you know what people are searching in your local area. So there is a strategy, like if you hire someone to write your blog post, you can't just be thinking too like, oh, I'm just paying them to use ChatGPT and spit something out. There's so much that goes into blogs that is more than just the prompt. So I don't want to be like promising the world either by just saying you're going to be able to just write and it's so easy. Like there's lots of factors that go into blog writing, but I will say using this prompt, you're going to get a good piece out of it and it's going to help you. This is a thing that you could do on your own, but just keep in mind, like, I think sometimes people think like, oh, I'm paying someone to do my blog and all they're doing is like throwing something into ChatGPT. Like that's not the case. So it just could wanted
be.
To.
I would say it could be.
I guess
be.
That's true. That's it true. Could. It could be.
Not could us. Be. I would say we don't do that. We don't, but some people probably do. Yeah. I mean, with using ChatGPT, the benefit too is that you can put in there, like, make this SEO optimized for Grand Rapids, Michigan. And ChatGPT knows how Google does that. And so therefore it will do that for you. So that's the benefit of using it too. So the prompt is very detailed in making sure that you get one of those out, but that's after doing a lot of testing. I've taken courses, you've taken courses, Talisa, where we've like learned a lot about ChatGPT and how to use it and like how to get it to sound like you and all of that. So anyway, in the show notes, the freebie is in there, but blog posts should be about 1500-ish words and they should be what your reader is searching for or your seekers are searching for. So you can do that. Again, it's going to help with SEO. It's not going to be your whole SEO solution. And then, you know, as Talisa mentioned, like if you are paying a company to do blogs for you, just ask questions. It never hurts to ask, like, how are you guys figuring out what my topic should be? Or where are you guys writing these? Or who is writing them? Or, you know, just asking questions. And ChatGPT is a great tool to use. And I would say the prompt that's in our show notes is a proprietary prompt that we put together, you know? Yeah. And so like, yes, it is a ChatGPT prompt, but you know, that took us time and effort and money to learn how to do that too. So, you 100%. Know, if they're using ChatGPT, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but you want to make sure that it's for good purpose, you know? So,
right. Like there's still a right way to do it. Or even another question to ask is like, are you backlinking? Are you like, yes, are there yes. other things you're doing to the blog besides just writing it? You know, because there's more to it than just the blog itself. So also just want you guys to be careful. You know, it's never a bad thing to ask questions when you're hiring someone out. But I do agree with you, Andrea, that this is something you could at least start doing yourself and see how it goes. So yes, we love blog writing. We think it's such an asset to businesses. And like you said, Andrea, I think people just need to keep in mind that, you know, SEO is like that credit score. Mm-hmm. You should be doing multiple things to try to make sure you're always at the top. And also just keeping in mind what your competition looks like too, because if you're in a highly competitive area, again, you're going to be wanting to put more. Whereas if you're not in a highly competitive area, you might not have to write multiple blogs a month or put multiple hundreds of dollars into ad spend. So knowing your area is important too. But with that being said, let's move on to another thing that I think is so important with getting the seekers, and that is Google reviews. I am such a huge proponent of Google reviews. I am always trying to like talk to clients about maybe, you know, doing extra things to make sure they're constantly getting new Google reviews, because they're so important. Google reviews is a free thing you can do to boost your visibility online. It's free. You know, of course, your clients have to take the time to do it, but it is something that you can have online that immediately boosts your SEO. If you really think about it, try to think like outside of med spas. Let's just think like if you typed in Mexican restaurants near me, and you did that right now as we're talking, look it up on your phone, you're going to notice that oftentimes, not always, but usually what's going to pop up is whoever has the most Google reviews. Usually if a Mexican restaurant near you has 500 reviews versus 3, it's going to be popping up first. And so you know, making sure that you're trying to dominate the Google review space is huge. And so I want to talk to everyone just a little bit about how you can get more Google reviews, because I think a lot of times people are like just afraid to ask people. So there are some ways you can do it more nonchalant, and then there's just straight up ways just to ask people, and it's okay. So first and foremost, I would say asking for character reviews or from friends or family or people, colleagues that know you really well, that's not a bad thing. I think sometimes people think like, oh, I have to just always have, you know, treatment-based reviews. And that's not true. If one of your colleagues wrote you a review saying, oh my goodness, Sarah is the best injector that I've ever met in my life, and I've seen her work and it's phenomenal, and she's kind and she's caring and she's one of the most personal people I've ever met, like, why would that not impact people? Even if, you know, the person writing the review hadn't actually gotten an injectable from you, but they know you really well, that's like a character reference is still good. So asking those people in your life that are close to you for those character references, even just to start, that's not a bad thing. It's not bad to ask. I would say another thing that I've always loved when I've seen that clients do this is having like something when people are paying for their service, just like a little signage, like something that just says, you know, the best kind of tip is a Google review, and having a direct link where people can just right there, pull it up and give you a review. That helps people, because I think oftentimes if you get a good service, it's not that you don't want to spend the time doing a Google review. It's just you don't even think about it. Like me, if I go get my hair done, it's not like I'm actively like, oh, I don't want to do a Google review. It's just, I get my hair done, I'm happy and I leave and I don't really think about it. Whereas if my hairdresser said, hey, like, I'm so happy you love your service so much, do you mind giving me a Google review? Like, I would 1,000,000% always say yes, unless I had a bad experience, of course, right. then you don't want to. But as long as you're having positive experiences, it's also not bad just to straight up ask. Or I know that some of our clients before have done like little gifts or like little things to help like make people be excited about leaving a review. So like you could have a little basket next to the signage and saying like, we so appreciate your Google reviews. Anyone who leaves a Google review, please feel free to take like a cute little chapstick or a lip scrub, or just like, I know for a fact that so many med spas get so many samples and like amazing things gifted to them. So, I mean, people love, like, people don't need incentive, like, to be incentivized, but I would say it's always nice to, like, feel that, like, feel like, oh, yay, like, that's exciting. I want the little lip balm. Yeah. I have no problem writing a review. And you're not doing anything wrong because you're not asking him to give you a 5-star. You're not looking at him, telling him what to write or anything like that. It's just,
We did ask our attorney about that, actually, because we had a client that was concerned about that, doing giveaways for reviews. And so we did clear that with our attorney that really is the differentiator, is saying like, make sure to give me a 5-star review, like, and like paying people to do 5-star reviews for you is illegal. You definitely cannot do that. But
just saying, if you wouldn't mind supporting my business and giving me a review, it's going to be an honest review. And so you can do something like that. I love giveaways. In fact, we've had lots of successes with clients when we've done little giveaways where it's like, maybe it's a little mini travel size skincare bundle. And anyone who does a new Google review in the month of May, let's just say, you know, is gets put into a drawing for a free, whatever, travel size skincare or whatever.
Actually, you did that, Talisa. You put that into our membership content for the month of March. You built that in there. And there's a client that's one of our members that I'm still an admin on her Google business profile. And in the month of March, she got over 15 new reviews from what you built into the Aesthetically membership content.
Yeah.
So people are willing to do it.
Yeah, people are. And 15, especially for this client that I'm thinking of, had less than 100 reviews to begin with. So when you think about that, it was like boosting her Google reviews by over 20% just by a giveaway. So it does work. Like, again, we want to be careful your wording. We don't want to be like, you have to give us a 5-star or anything like that. Of course, you can't use language like that, but just making it a very well-known thing that you're actively searching for Google reviews. If people are even just seeing it, like, there's no harm in just getting on stories and being like, did you love your last service? We would love to hear from you. Write us a Google review and have the exact link where they can click on it and go do it. The easier you make it for people to write the review, the more likely they are going to do it. So again, people are not, it's not that people are not willing. It's just, they're not actively thinking about it. So you need to ask to get it in their minds, or at least be posting about it or something where it's getting in their minds like, oh, I should go write a review.
Yes. So Google reviews are so helpful. I actually went out to dinner with my husband a while ago now because we have a newborn. We haven't left the house in a while. But anyway, we went out to dinner at one of our favorite restaurants and they had little signage at all the tables and it said, and then it was also on their menu and it said, if you enter every month we do a giveaway for a free appetizer for everyone who submits a Google review. And I was like, shoot, done. Like, I would love to get a free app to come back here. So yeah, other businesses are kind of getting hip to doing it. And I think it makes a huge difference. And honestly, like you had mentioned, asking people are happy to do it.
Yeah, they really are.
People are more than happy to do it. Like, oh, will you submit a Google review? They're like, yes, I would love to. I would love to help your business, especially if you're a smaller med spa and it's just you and a couple, you know, maybe an esthetician or two, or it's just you. People are really happy to help and support for sure. So you don't need to feel weird about it.
No, and it does make a big difference. And that's what I want to emphasize is I cannot talk about it enough. That is one of just the best ways to get in front of people organically, and the cost is nothing. You know, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be anything. So Google reviews, Google reviews, Google reviews. I wish, you know, I could just like, if we could have like a banner just everywhere, like go get more Google reviews. That's just like a huge thing that I think both of us really believe in. And it's really authentic too, because if you go read a Google review, there have been Google reviews that have prevented me from going somewhere. And there have been Google reviews that have made me want to go somewhere, because people, when they're specific about things, for instance, I'm just going to do a random one. Like if someone were to write a review saying like, I had the most dry skin ever. I could not get rid of the dry flakes on my face. Nothing I did seemed to help. And I went to Angela and my skin is so healthy, so dewy. I can't believe how much hydration I'm getting from going to her. That's something that would resonate with me, right? Because I have always traditionally had very dry skin. Or someone who's acne prone, if they like actually see a review of someone saying, you know, Angela, I don't know why I'm using that. That's there's an Angela listening to this. Hey, but you know, like Angela, because of Angela, like my skin has completely cleared. When people hear it from other people.
Oh, it's social proof.
It's social proof. It's so impactful. Or if I saw a review, like she didn't spend any time with me. She was rushed. I felt like a number and not a person. I would be so checked out because I like that personal touch. So having good Google reviews definitely helps you a lot.
Yeah. Like you said, you can never have enough.
No.
So I would challenge everyone who's listening right now to look in your area at who the person is that has the most Google reviews and make a mental goal to try to get as close to that by the end of this year as humanly possible, if not beating it.
Yeah. I say beat it.
Yeah.
Go big. No, I love that. So having that be a big goal is huge. And you can do something new every month for people to get excited about Google reviews. So anyway, sorry, I feel like we've really hashed this out, but if anything, that is the one thing you could do today. And it's the easiest thing you could do today to really boost your visibility for those seekers. So I really wanted to go over that a lot, but let's dive into the next one. And so for me, when you're thinking about seekers, another thing you need to think about is your website, right? What if someone's on Google and let's say they type in Botox near me and your website pops up, you're doing all the right things, right? And then they click on your website. That is their first impression of you. That is your one shot to impress them, right? You might not get another shot after they look at you and your services. And so we really want to talk about websites, why they're important, and what should kind of be on your website to ensure that you're impressing that seeker. Because a seeker is willing to purchase, but I would also say a seeker has expectations, right? Of what they're looking for or what they're hoping for. And so first and foremost, we want to talk about having a good user experience. Is your website cluttery? Is it hard to navigate? People are going to be checked out in 2 seconds. Two seconds. They're just going to be like, ooh, and move on. So making sure that you have a good user experience is going to be so important for your website. Another really important thing is branding. Does your branding come through on your website? Is it in your social? Is it in your website? Is it everywhere? Because people will start recognizing it immediately if you have really good branding. And I wanted to just give an example. And of course, I'm not going to name names because that's not what we do here. But I had to move to Pennsylvania for my husband's residency. So I moved here a couple years ago. And as soon as I got here, I wanted to just look up like spas near me, facials near me. I was actively searching some of these things because, you know, since being in this industry, of course, that's an important thing to me. I really wanted to have a good place to go. And so when I first got here, I was searching those things. And I remember specifically going to a website of a med spa near me. And I opened up that website and I was so turned off by it. It just seemed like it was built 20 years ago. And I'm not saying this to sound snobbish by any stretch of the imagination, but when things just like looked funky, it didn't look aesthetic. I was so turned off by it that even though I felt like they were the only person I could find with a particular service I was looking for, I wouldn't go. Because I was like, if this is what their website looks like, I just don't trust that I'm going to have a good experience in person, because it like was disorganized. It wasn't like clean looking. I know that sounds weird, but like you can just have perceptions in your head based off of visuals. So even like the photos they were using online seemed like almost, I was like, is this like spam? I didn't like it. And so when you're creating your website, you want to make sure you have a lot of branded photos of you, of your clinic, of you in your clinic with clients, you know, your actual clinic, because people will immediately trust that more than stock. I promise you, people will trust that more than stock. Because again, when I just saw this unorganized website that was full of stock images, I was so turned off. I'm like, I almost felt like it was a scam, that I was like, yeah, there's it looks no way. Cheap. So cheap. And here's the thing is, we're in the aesthetics industry. You can't expect someone to think they're getting premium services or luxury services if you don't exude that in your branding, in your messaging, in your website, in your social, wherever they're finding you. That's your one shot to really prove like, yeah, we are an aesthetics practice. And so by you caring about how things look, people will immediately be like, oh, they're going to care how my result is. There's an, like, there is definitely a connection there. So making sure that you have high quality images, really good branding, a good user experience, having good copy that's personable and good. I would also say, you know, you can SEO optimize your website, like Andrea said earlier too. So those things are important to make sure you're getting in front of those seekers. But something I did want to mention, and Andrea, you can chime in here too, because we talk about this a lot, but I think it's really important when we're thinking of like, okay, the components of your website or what should be on your website, try to think of the seeker. I know that, you know, as a clinician, you know in depth the difference between all of your services, what makes them unique, scientifically down to how these things work. So in your head, if you think you're going to put Kybella as a whole service page, to you, that makes sense, right?
Yeah,
but to the average person, because it's a service, right, that you provide. But for the average person looking at your website, they don't know what the heck that is. Mm-hmm. They have no clue what that is. And so making sure that your website is very user-friendly in the sense of just like the copy and the language that you use, think pain points people have. Don't think of just individual services. If you have a website that has a singular page for every single offer you have, sometimes it's actually a disservice to you because people will get confused. Rather than just saying, hey, if you're struggling with anti-aging, you want to get rid of those fine lines and wrinkles, like come in for a consultation. Like you can list services, of course. You want to say that you have, you know, injectables. You want to, you know, say those things, but you need to make sure your copy is set up in a way that you're the expert. You want people coming in to ask your opinion. You don't need a whole, you know, blog post about the difference between Xeomin, Dysport, and Botox, because you don't, in my opinion, and from a lot of what our clients have said, you don't want someone coming in saying, hey, I read this online, I really need Xeomin, when you're like, okay, no, you don't really fit that criteria. We actually think you're a better fit for Dysport because you work out every day, you have more of an active lifestyle, whatever. I use that example a lot because I think this is important, because you want your clients coming to you for the expert advice. You don't want them having these preconceived notions of, this is what you need to do for me.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, you want to be put as the expert. So having it in a way on your website where people connect with the pain point versus service name, I think that's important. So let's just kind of talk about some of the components of a website that we think you need to have. So first and foremost, of course, a homepage. And we really recommend having kind of a banner for your website that is changed every month. So every month there's something new to your website. So maybe you have an event coming up that you want to advertise. Maybe you have a new service that you just launched. You know, there's lots of different things you can put in that banner, but like switching that up every month is just a good way to keep your website active and fresh. And then also people will come in and expect something new when they're trained to know that there's something new to look at. We would also recommend, of course, having a services page, but again, being careful how you word your services, I think is important. Having an about is critical. I would say when I look at websites, about is usually the first page I click on.
Oh, me too.
Outside of the homepage. Obviously, you go to the homepage first, but if I'm clicking on one, about is the first one.
Me too. I never talked about that, but that's true for me too.
Yeah. Like that's always the first thing I click on. And so you really want that to be good and beefy and exciting and like, oh my gosh, I resonate with her. You know, having a bio that talks about your journey of why you fell in love with aesthetics, maybe talk about a pain point you struggled with. Is it acne? Is it you had dark under eye circles and you were a new mom and you were so tired all the time and just PRF, like completely changed your life. Like talk about that. I think people resonate with that. And so just getting to know you as a human, not just like, this is where she got her education and yeah. You know, that kind of stuff's important too. But like, you want to make it personable. You want people to be like, oh, I relate to her. Oh, I love her. She just seems like a hoot, you know? So making sure that you have bright, fun, smiley, warm pictures in that about part. I think that's also really important. So make sure your about page is really good because I think that's pretty common actually that people like to click about. And then other pages you can have. We love it when clients have a gallery page because here's the thing. I've personally wanted lip filler for a very long time. Andrea can attest to this. I've been wanting to get it for a very long time and I've had such a hard time sometimes pulling the trigger, but that is the first thing I always look at with people who do filler is I'm like, okay, if I'm getting it, I want to go and find the exact result that I'm looking for. And I want to see that they've done it on someone else. Right. So if you have lots of variety in beautiful before and afters, people are going to be more excited to come to you as well. So having a gallery page, great idea. Of course, having a blog page, we talked about blogs earlier, and then you can have other pages. For instance, if you have a membership program that you're really trying to promote, having a whole page on that is totally great. If you have a wellness program, you know, if you want to go over this different skincare lines that you carry, you can have a page about that too. If you have a shop, linking to a shop, you know, those are other good things to have on websites. But so those are some of the basic components I would say of a website, but you really don't need like a 36 page website. That's so overwhelming for people.
Yes. All of these things that we've talked about today. So we talked about SEO. There's a couple ways you can do SEO. We talked about Google ads. We talked about Facebook and Instagram ads. We talked about blog posts. We talked about Google reviews. And then all of those things kind of lead people to your website and the importance of when people get to your website, you want to come correct. Like you want to look right on your website, which is great. So I do want to tell listeners, we help clients with all of these services every day. We build websites. We do branding. We do SEO. We do Google ads. We have a partnership for Facebook and Instagram ads. We do blogging. We do all of these things. So we're more than happy to help you with any questions you have, or if you wanted to learn more, you can always book a discovery call too. And we'd be happy to kind of walk through your business and see, you know, what it is that you specifically need help with. And we can help you show up at the right time and the right place for those seekers in your community so you can grow your business. I also want to remind people that we put together the amazing freebie for blogs. So definitely make sure to grab that out of the show notes. That will be super helpful for you to write some amazing blog posts with ChatGPT as your writing assistant. And yeah, seekers, I definitely also want to remind everyone, tune in next week because we'll be talking about clients and how to nurture your current clients, how to upsell them, how to get them to come back and rebook. And yeah, this is a really exciting series we have. So yeah, this was all about seekers.
Yes. And I just want to reiterate again what Andrea said. You know, we obviously are doing this podcast just to educate and hopefully help lots of people. But I just wanted to reiterate, I think something that we do that's pretty unique as well is if you book a discovery call with us, we really like to look at your business as a whole and find maybe the holes. And sometimes it's okay just to focus on those areas. You know, you don't have to like, not everyone that comes to us, we do everything for.
Oh, no.
It's okay.
Yes.
So we'll always make sure to have that link below along with that blog prompt. And we really want to hear from you. If you use it, did you love it? We want to hear from you. We would love, love, love to hear from you. So definitely reach out to us. And we're so excited for you to use that.
Thank you. We'll see you guys next week.